Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you enjoyed the weekend and that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were able to worship Him together with other Christians in church, and that having been refreshed with rest, you are now energized on this Monday to return to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 14. Last week, we found the competent military commander and strategist Abram winning his battle and rescuing his nephew Lot. And we compared that to Gideon's battle against the Midianites in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. And on Friday, as I left you, I encouraged you to search history for famous battles that were won by small forces, such as at Thermopylae. Did you read about that alliance of ancient Greek city-states led by King Leonidas of Sparta as they defended their land at a narrow coastal pass called Thermopylae, meaning hot gates in Greek? The enemy was Xerxes of Persia. This took place in 480 BC and 300 Spartans. That is right, 300 successfully defended the pass. They did so against anywhere from between 100,000 to 3 million Persian troops, the Greeks fighting to their deaths. Well, this is not a radio show or a podcast about ancient history, although in some sense it is. Alas, we will go back to the Bible now, but all history, under the sovereign and providential hand of the living God, is profitable and fascinating for us to know and to apply to our lives. Where there are points of connection to the biblical text, I will continue to point these out. But because our time together is so short, I cannot linger here. And so I commend you to do your own research. And if you have children or grandchildren, get them involved. Make history appealing. It is a captivating and absorbing discipline. And as I have said before, to some extent, all serious Bible students are interested in history. We must be, in order to know the God of all history. As some have said, it is His story. History is His story. As we return to Genesis 14, let's put in at verse 15. And let me say this. For those of you wondering what kind of progress we are making in this unique chapter in God's Word, we are beyond the halfway point. There is something intriguing coming up that we will get to this week. Our purpose for being in Genesis is to follow the lives of God and Abram. We are learning who God is in the context of His servant Abram's life. Learning Genesis is of crucial importance because it lays the foundation for literally, I am not exaggerating, it lays the foundation for the rest of Scripture. So I hope you are benefiting from this. This is my prayer for you. I certainly know that I have loved my own studies in Genesis. God, He's the best. What a privilege and honor to sit at His holy feet and learn from Him. I'm reading Genesis chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Abram divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hovah, which is north of Damascus. Abram brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. As we look at these two verses, there are two words I invite you to highlight because I think understanding the meaning of the original language will help us capture just how victorious God through Abram was. The first word is in verse 15, and it is the English word defeated. The Bible says Abram defeated them. The them are the retreating armies of the kings of the north. Now, this word defeat is a strong word in the Hebrew language. It means to smite. It means to give a beating or a beatdown. It means to destroy. In other words, the power of God working through Abram and his 318 trained men absolutely decimated the armies of the kings of the north. Total defeat. Defeat here does not mean it was close and Abram sort of barely won, but a win is a win. No, God and Abram were the clear-cut winners. And we see that as we make our way to the second word of note in these verses, the text continues in verse 16, Abram brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. That certainly tells you something about this victory. Abram stripped the armies of everything. In addition to freeing Lot and Lot's possessions, Abram also took back for Sodom the possessions, the women, and the people. This is significant, as we shall see. And the word there in verse 16 to highlight is the word people, or the people. To translate this Hebrew word as the people is acceptable, but we must understand these were not commoners. These were not everyday innocent civilians that Abram rescued. These were Sodom's surviving soldiers. In the original language, this word reads people bearing arms. People bearing arms. For example, this word is used in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 11. I'm reading 1 Samuel 11:11. The next morning, Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp at the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Obviously, the people are the soldiers. Perhaps this is even more clear in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go." I am dropping down to verse 3. So Joshua rose with all the people of war, and Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. Ah, there it is. The people of war. Soldiers. Warriors. Joshua 8, verses 1 and 3, among other examples in the Hebrew Bible. What Abram does here speaks again to his godly character. These are the people of Sodom. These are Sodomites. And as we know from reading here and elsewhere in Genesis, these people were evil. They hated God, and yet here Abram, the man of God, exercises grace and mercy upon them. I mean, that if Abram had just taken Lot back, and maybe he could have paid a ransom for his nephew and never even have gone to war. If Abram had just rescued Lot, we could understand it. Lot was, after all, family. How many of us have been willing to rescue a family member in trouble, but would never have done the same for a stranger? But Abram is a man of deeper and stronger character than many of us. He goes all the way and takes back goods, possessions, women, and people bearing arms, captured soldiers. And my, how Sodom was going to need these things and persons if they were to survive after the pillaging done earlier in the chapter by the armies of the northeast. Now, this gracious act of Abram reminds us of a couple of verses in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "He," meaning God the Father, "He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Matthew 5, verse 45. This tells us something we can observe in our own lives. God is abundantly gracious to evil people and to the unrighteous. The sun shines on both, rain drops on both. The Christians cry out, why do evil people thrive? The answer, for now, in his patience, a patience none of us possess. For now, so that some people might repent and turn to Christ for salvation from sin, God sets sunshine on rain on both the evil and the good, and the righteous and unrighteous. Jesus says it. Eventually, God will judge the evil and unrighteous people. He will, but not yet. Well, likewise, emulating our Heavenly Father, Christians, we are to do good to everyone. I have Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 in mind. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Ah, this is a challenging scripture to obey. Some of us struggle to do good even to those of the household of the faith, our fellow believers. Have you ever had another Christian that you really do not like and hesitate to do good towards? If we are honest, we will say yes. But then, for Paul the Apostle to have the nerve to say that we, given an opportunity, must do good to all people, wow, he is really pushing it. But this is exactly what Scripture commands. Think of it this way. When we do good to all people, we are doing that which God does to all people. If we want to be like God, then we follow our father Abraham and we be abundant in grace to all. Abram is our teacher. Jesus is our teacher. The Apostle Paul is our teacher. God is our teacher. These all agree. Notice the good that Abram does to the Sodomites. We proceed tomorrow in Genesis chapter 14. I hope that you will be here as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.